It has been a long, hot summer. And we're also thankful that you're here today. We have a number of guests with us. You are so welcome. And we want you to know how much we appreciate you being here today. There's so many things you could do today, but you chose to come here today and worship God with us. And we are so glad that you did. And it's good to see so many of our members that have been, some have been out and been sick and are back. And we're so thankful for that. Thankful that God has blessed you and that you're able to be here with us as well. We'll talk about the afternoon session. We'll start at 1:30. And we'll talk about the fellowship that will follow our service today at the end. But right now, the text that you heard this morning from Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, is relevant as I ask a question, who made a difference for you? Who made a difference for you? Every action we take has an impact on the world around us. Did you know that? Everything we do impacts somebody. Influence is one of the most important and powerful tools that any faithful Christian possesses. Everything you do matters. Now, I've always enjoyed science fiction, I confess. All right? Ray Bradbury was one of my favorite authors. He wrote a number of books and short stories, and one of the favorite that he wrote that I just enjoyed was called A Sound of Thunder. A Sound of Thunder. And I know that it has a very silly premise. Picture this. Time-traveling tourists. Oh, just kind of wrap your head around that a little bit. All right. Time-traveling tourists. A whole tourist industry about traveling through time. Crazy idea. But anyway, in this story, a group of tourists time travel back to the age of dinosaurs. And this was published in 1952, long before Jurassic Park, okay? But anyway, these people are told, do not get off the path. You stay on this path. This tourist company had traveled back in time, constructed this path through the area where the dinosaurs lived. You stay on this path. Don't get off. Well, they're traveling along and they're enjoying the seeing the sights and the big fern trees and all the stuff. And this one dinosaur is in a bad mood or something and he charges the path. And the rest of the group take off back to the time traveling portal device, shuttle, cockpit thing, box. Okay? But this one guy out in front, he was so scared he jumped off the path and ran off into the jungle. Well, the dinosaur didn't get anybody. He went on his merry way, and the guy came back on the path, came back to the box, and they decided it's time to get out of here. So they went back home. When they got home, when they opened the doors, the world was completely different. It was a terrible mess. Humanity was in shambles. It was horrible. It was a horrible situation. And so the guides began to look and examine the different tourists that had been there, and they checked the one guy that ran off the path, and on his shoes there was mud caked, and in the mud they found a beautiful butterfly that had been squished into the mud and killed. And the premise is foolish, I know, but somehow in this far-fetched story, the killing of that butterfly created a ripple of events that cascaded through time and completely changed their future. Crazy, I know. And yet, the basis in reality is still there because one small event can have far-reaching effects. One little thing. There is a theory in modern science, it's pretty much been dispelled, but it's called the butterfly effect. And in this theory, and of course, I know you're all familiar with the laws of cause and effect, right? You know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and cause and effect, we understand that. But in the butterfly effect, it's suggested that A butterfly flaps its wings, and the breeze it creates travels, and as it travels, it could pick up speed, and then by the time it gets to the other side of the world, it's created a terrible windstorm. Well, they've disproved that. They realize there's no way with air friction and resistance and all of this, there's no way that that could happen. But it's something like, the theory was, it's something like when you throw a pebble into a pool of water, the ripples travel out in all directions. Well, there's an application of this principle, this butterfly effect, even though it's been disproven as a scientific thing. There's a physical and spiritual application of this effect. So the text again is, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." Brethren, friends, you have influence. Did you know that? You have influence on other people. People around you are influenced by you. What you do and what you say impacts the lives of people around you, your family, your friends, your co-workers, fellow students, and even strangers. We have some kind of influence on people, whether it's good or whether it's bad. There's going to be an influence there. Now the text says we owe it to each other to love one another. We owe that to one another, to love one another, to share with one another. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 20, you know this passage. "And by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." What's the best way to share love? Well, the best thing you can do is by sharing the gospel. That's the absolute best thing you can do. The best expression of your love for someone is by sharing with them the gospel. We obey the form of the gospel when we do what Jesus tells us to do. We believe in him and we turn away from our sins and we confess by repentance. And we confess that we believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, the blood of Jesus washing our sins away. That's the form of his death, burial, and his resurrection. But I want you to notice the role then past that. Once we get past the new birth, once we get into the family of God, I want you to notice the role of this influence, this effect that we have on each other. And it's seen in Ephesians 4, verse 11, beginning. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man," meaning mature and complete, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is head, Christ." Watch now, watch. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share," Stan's lesson this morning, "causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." What you do makes a difference.
What you do impacts people, and the result should be the growth of the body. And the body is made up of individuals. It's made up of individual members. The impact that you do may not be upon the whole body. It may only be upon one or two people in this room. Or maybe not even in this room, one or two people in your life somewhere else. The impact that you make on them, and the result should be that people become more like Jesus by having been with you, by having been around you, by being influenced by you, that they become more like God wants them to be. That's what the goal of Christian fellowship is. That's the goal of your influence and your example, to help people go to heaven. And that's our goal, isn't it? I want to go to heaven, and I want to help you go with me. And you want to go to heaven, and you want to help me go with you. And that's what our goal is, to help each other get to heaven. It's not that we're in competition. There's room for everybody. We want to help each other get to heaven. That's what it's supposed to be. But again, it's by what every joint supplies. What you give, and I'm not talking necessarily money, that includes money, but what you give, God will use to grow the church. When you give your time, your talent, yourself, your energy, your expertise, your skill, when you make an effort, when you try to do something good, God will use that to grow the church. But it's up to you to give of yourself. It's up to you to do the good. It's up to you to be a good influence. Just as we've noticed, we owe one another our love. But do you really believe? Do you really believe that God can use you to make a difference? Do you really believe that He can? You got to have enough faith in God to believe that He can. He can use even you. He can use even me. No matter how you see yourself, no matter what your view of yourself is, God's view of you is greater than your view of yourself. He recognizes your potential better than you do. God can use you. He can definitely use you. Whatever you've got, whatever you can do, God can use you. Even the small things matter. Back in 2004, ABC News had a regular feature once a week, and they would honor somebody in the present or in the past as the person of the week. Some of you that have lived a while may remember that. The person of the week. And they would honor these different people for their accomplishments in the world. Well, on this particular case in 2004, ABC News honored a man that at the time was 91 years old. And it was their news segment where they honored Norman Borlaug. I don't know how to say it right. B-O-R-L-A-U-G. Norman Borlaug, who in the 1940s... Daniel, I'm having a hard time saying this word. You're going to know what I mean. Hybridized. He made hybrid wheat and corn that was resistant to disease and was able to be used in arid climates. Hybrid corn, hybrid wheat. He hybridized this corn and wheat so that it could be used in arid climates. And so from the Dust Bowl of Western Africa to our own desert southwest, from South and Central America and all the way to the plains of Europe and Asia, his seeds were used from the time that they were developed, and his seeds flourished and regenerated and kept on growing crop after crop after crop like no seeds had ever thrived before. And this scientist simply did what he could, but he made a huge impact on untold lives. Through the years, it has been calculated that Norman Borlaug's work saved more than 2 million people from starvation. 2 billion people from starvation. Can you believe that? Now, that's noteworthy. Maybe he should have been honored as the person of the week, right? That makes sense. But wait a minute. Maybe they're mistaken. Maybe ABC News was mistaken, because perhaps the newscaster should have named Henry Wallace as the person of the week. Why? Well, who was Henry Wallace? Well, he was just vice president under Franklin Delano Roosevelt during 1941 to 1945. He served as Roosevelt's vice president. But before that, in Roosevelt's cabinet, he served as the Secretary of Agriculture in this country. And Henry Wallace believed in the power of plants. He used his office to create an experimental station in Mexico. In Mexico, whose purpose was to develop this hybrid corn and wheat for dry climates. That was Henry Wallace's dream. And he hired a young man named Norman Borlaug to run that station. And of course, based on that discovery from Borlaug, Borlaug won the Nobel Prize and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. But if you think about it, it's really because of the passion of Henry Wallace that these events even happened, that Borlaug was able to make this discovery, because of Henry Wallace's passion for plants and agriculture. Okay? So it's sort of like the butterfly effect. Who was really the one that brought about the salvation or the saving of lives of more than 2 billion people? Was it Borlaug or was it Henry Wallace? It's sort of like that butterfly effect. Wallace just simply pushed his people to make this great discovery. But then maybe it shouldn't have been Henry Wallace. Maybe it should have been George Washington Carver that was honored as person of the week. Why? Well, y'all do remember George Washington Carver, don't you? Well, you know, he was famous because of the peanut, right? I mean, he came up with more than 260 developments of the peanut that are still being used today. And then sweet potatoes, he came up with more than 88 developments in the sweet potato that are still used today. This root vegetable, I guess it's a vegetable, it's really sweet. But he came up with more than 88 uses of that that's still used today. But that's not what saved all these people. No. What most people don't realize is that when this man, George Washington Carver, was 19 years old as a student at Iowa State University, one of his professors would allow his own 6-year-old son to accompany Carver and some other of his best students on Saturdays out in the fields. They would go out and explore these looking for botany and plants and all this, and they're making discoveries. And this 6-year-old boy was able to travel and go around, and it was George Washington Carver that took this 6-year-old boy under his wing and instilled in him a love for plants that would follow him for the rest of his life. And that man was Henry Wallace. So George Washington Carver, in fact, is maybe a good candidate for that person of the week, right? I mean, he used his own butterfly effect and look at the result. But actually, it really could have been a farmer from Diamond, Missouri that should have been honored as person of the week. This farmer from Diamond, Missouri, his name was Moses. His wife's name was Susan. They lived in a slave state, but they did not believe in slavery. And because of that, they faced some persecution from Quantrell's Raiders. Y'all remember Quantrell's Raiders? The Confederate rebels and renegades that ransacked a whole communities and killed people and just tortured and maimed and mutilated, and just horrible, horrible group of terrorists, really, is what they were. But they were destroying property and killing people that were opposed to slavery. And it was a cold January night, Quantrell's raiders attacked Moses and Susan's farm. And they stole their cattle, and they burned the barn, and they shot several people. And there was a woman that was visiting there with her infant baby. Her name was Mary Washington. And she was being dragged off, and she refused to let go of her little son, George. Mary Washington was Susan Carver's best friend. Best friend. And so Moses was desperate to try to get her back and get this baby back. So he worked very hard, sent word out throughout the area, and finally arranged a meeting with the bandits. And when he got there, he rode in on the only horse he had left, several hours from his home, and he traded the last horse he had for a bag, a sack, that those raiders threw at him, and he caught it. And inside was a little baby, nearly dead. The baby's mother had died. The baby was nearly dead. He rescued that little baby, held it against his own skin to keep it warm, and walked out of that enemy camp and walked all the way back home. And he and his wife Susan promised that they would raise that baby, they would educate him, they would give him their name. So when you think of George Washington Carver, maybe you need to think about Moses Carver, who had an impact. Maybe he should have been person of the week. Or could it be, and there's no end to this story, is there? It could just go on and on and on. So who exactly was it that saved more than 2 billion souls from starvation? Who? Who indeed? Everything you do matters to somebody. Everything you do, every word you say, every kind act or every cruel act will impact someone. Who saved all those people? Well, in the future, it could be you. It could be you. So you could do something that maybe will help millions, perhaps billions of people that are lost to find Jesus. Some kindness of yours, some act of generosity, some selfless expression of love, a sharing of the gospel just to one person could impact millions. Any of these things could result in multitudes of people being saved from spiritual starvation. How far back in your own life should you go to find the person who made a difference to you? Think about your life. Think about your past. How far back do you need to go to think of somebody who impacted your life in such a special way? And how far in the future should you go to see the difference that your life and your influence has made on someone else? There are generations yet unborn whose very lives could be different because of what you do today and tomorrow and the next day. Every single thing you do matters. It makes a difference. God had this effect in mind when he commanded through Moses in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You're familiar with this passage. We've just gone over it not too long ago. But the point is, the impact, the influence that you have on your children should be to help them find God. But not just on your children, but also on everyone else around you. So shouldn't we make it our priority to spend time with our own children and to inspire them, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, nephews and nieces, little ones at church? Shouldn't we make it a priority to spend time with them, to inspire them to seek God, to know what's truly important? Good grades are good, but a good life is so much better. Let's keep that in perspective. And the same is true of our friends at school or at work or anywhere we have influence, isn't it? I mean, shouldn't we not only show our dedication to God and His way, but shouldn't we also teach people the things we know that God wants them to know? Brethren, that's what being a friend is helping someone find that which is truly lasting, truly makes a difference, truly important. The butterfly effect will work if you will flap your wings. Flap your wings. Be your own cause and effect. today. Be a friend like Jesus is a friend. But a word of warning. We need to remember the effect can go either way. You can have a positive effect or you can have a negative effect. We need to make up our minds right now to know that it is time to move away from the bad and move toward the good. As Romans 13, 11 and 12 says, "And do this, knowing the time that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Excuse me. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Love enough to make a good difference. Love enough and care enough to do something good for someone. Even the little things matter. As we wrap this up, I want you to think about it. Who impacted your life to bring you to this moment in your life? Whose life have you impacted? But more importantly, how will you impact the lives around you from this day forward? What kind of commitment will you make? Something as small as a butterfly, something as tiny as a hug, a simple word of encouragement, simply taking time for someone. God is the only one who knows the good that you can do, but He encourages you to do it. Choose to patiently be a blessing to others, and I'm sure that good will come out of it. Jesus died, you know, to save every one of us. He died to impact the whole world, and He impacted humanity more than any other life that's ever lived. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 3 and verse 36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now listen to the subtle difference from the New King James to the American Standard Version on that last phrase. "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." To believe in Him naturally includes submitting to His will, doing whatever He says. He tells us we have to repent. That means we have to turn away from our life, making our own decisions, doing what we want to do, living the way we want to live. We have to turn away from sin and commit ourselves to the service of God. If you don't repent, you will perish. It is a certainty. It is as certain as gravity. You will perish if you do not repent. And so He commands us to repent in Acts 3 verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." He wants us to confess His name, not just one time when we're baptized, but the rest of our lives. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven." And then He commands baptism. I know that there's differences of views on this, and I understand that. I'm not here to criticize anybody, but simply the Bible says in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, Peter is talking to the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost who have just learned that they were guilty of killing the Son of God. They are scared to death. They cry out, "What are we supposed to do?" Well, it's obvious they believe in Jesus, but now they got to do something. They have to repent and they have to be baptized in the name of Jesus by His authority for the forgiveness of sins. It's as simple as that. And then he goes on to say, you need to live faithful. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says that, "Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life." Be faithful. Continue to live that life of service and faithfulness to God. Now that's what you have to do if you're not a Christian. And if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to obey the Lord. He died. He gave His life to impact your life, to give you a chance for heaven. But you have to come to Him on His terms. You have to accept Him as Lord and Savior. And you have to do what He says. And if you've already done that, but you've not been faithful to the Lord, maybe you've been lax and careless about your example and your influence, make a recommitment to God today and dedicate yourself to doing His will. Whatever your needs, if there's a way we can help you to make a difference, let God make a difference in your life by coming to Him today if you need to, as we stand and as we sing.